From your boy Deshaun Foster, I'd like to give UCLA B team a shout out. Hope you guys keep up the good work.
The internet's number two UCLA sports podcast. I am Nathan Eberhardt. With me tonight, as always, is Michael Hanna. God. I first heard the news.
I've never heard you use that. First of all, I've heard you say any of those words maybe like once or twice in like token moments in sequence, never. So that's a hell yeah. Other than that, how are you doing, bud?
I first heard the news when I got home from walking the dog yesterday afternoon, and I was asked, you know, oh, what do you think about USC hiring Lincoln Riley? I had not heard that before. So first I get that sickening feeling where it feels like my stomach just drops through my pelvic floor, and I get this nauseating chill going up my spine. I gather myself and the wherewithal to say that I'm not going to be talking about this until the kids are asleep, because I cannot guarantee you that my response will remain contained to the bounds of appropriate language. And sure, it did not. This is so bad. So bad. Hannah, you're going to talk about recruiting and schematic upgrade and image rehabilitation, you know, for USC, the blah. I just want to wallow in the misery for a second. Like, so the last week or so, as you know, we've talked about hiring a big name doesn't matter. It's all about the cultural fit, the baseline competence. Well, I want to find that earlier version of me and kick him in the teeth, because the sky is falling. This is awful. Even worse than this, I am so mortified that, you know, after 3-9 season in late 2018, we could find it in our archives if we want to do it. I'm going to leave it up because we deserve it to talk about how, yeah, we had a rough season, but we just beat USC. We're coming out of the fire. SC's going right into it. We're on the way up. I want to find that version of myself from 3 years ago and make him eat a curb, because he is a arrogant prick. I hate it so much. David Woods tweeted something, you know, tongue-in-cheek about maybe USC will have its dynamic spread guru new coach self-indulgently stick his head up his own ass and get too cute with extra tight ends and an identity-less offense. But we know things don't happen like that. USC fails miserably when they fall prey to their own crippling narcissism. It's UCLA that fails completely by surprise, despite when we make the right decisions. My wife keeps trying to tell me, it can't be that bad. He hasn't won a game there yet. This is all in your head. He could be a huge bust. Let's be honest. There is no reason to believe that will happen. It's a comforting fantasy, a lie that only a desperately scared child would cling to. And we all know children are stupid. Speaking of children, actually, I told my daughter this morning that I was upset. And I said that the Trojans got a really good new coach, and they were probably going to be very, very good for at least the next 10 years. And this cold-hearted assassin, emotional terrorist, looks me in the eye and said, so the Bruins won't beat them again until you're 50? Seriously, she might as well have kicked me in the balls. Oh. I can't even remember last week's satisfying beatdown with joy anymore. The memory, the DTR's autograph stunt, the hurdle, the 62 points, they've all turned to ashes in my mouth. The Book of Job. It's a story about how the devil tried to prove to God that people only loved and worshiped God because of the good things that he gave them. So he was going to take away all of Job's wealth, health, happiness, children, family, everything, just to show God that Job would turn on him and hate him. But in chapter 2, verse 9, Job's wife, after all, you know, suffering all that loss with him, just tells him to get over his integrity and his faith and, quote, just curse God and die already. I'm starting to think she had the right idea. For 11 years, since Pete Carroll slunk out of town in a cloud of ignominy, we had an opportunity to recapture the momentum of this rivalry. And all we did was soil ourselves over and over and over again. 50-0, P. Diddy and kettlebells, Jeff Ulrich's Fredo kiss, Kennedy Polamalu's faceplant. And finally, 4 years ago, we stood up. We got the attention of the college football world. We said, you know, like on the glass, like ting, 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 ting. Everyone, I'd like to make an announcement. And we swore that we were going to do it right. And we were finally going to make our move. And then we shat ourselves in full view of God and everyone. Just diarrhea filling up our golden pants with the worst coach in our program history. All while we're muttering to ourselves about being elite. So now we're standing there awkwardly with our shit running down our legs. And USC finally gets it together. Why would I ever expect anything different? Hannah, you need to talk because I need a whiskey and a lie down.
Oh boy. I think he just got up. Okay, I'm going to talk until Nathan cools off. Jeez. I think he just got up. Oh, he did get up. Oh, geez. Okay, so. Okay. First things first, it pains me in every way, shape, and form to say these words and have them actually exit my body, but I mean, there's no other way to say it. Kudos to USC. My goodness. Like, that is... He back. Okay. No, seriously, kudos to USC. I mean, you're going to need to tell me what you're sipping on so I can join you in a second. But seriously, like, you want to talk about all the rumors about Matt Campbell, like, rejecting them over the weekend and all that kind of stuff. And then literally the next day to pull out a Lincoln Riley hire. I mean, you want to talk about hitting just a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth, the game seven of the World Series. Like, Jesus. Like they should be building statues for Mike Bone and Carol Folt on that campus if they can get over how much they hate Carol Folt. I'm sure they can now, but man, I mean, seismic hire. It's landscape changing in every way, shape, and form. And I have USC. I have friends who went to USC who are just, you know, those diehard fans, and they're just telling me like it bothers me. Like it like literally rips out my soul when USC fans are taking pity on me and they're saying like, oh, it's gonna be better for the conference because, you know, Lincoln Riley is gonna bring attention to the conference and we're gonna have playoff spots again and the TV deal is gonna be better. The TV deal, USC being good. I've already lived through this movie. I don't need to watch this movie. I don't care to indulge in this movie in any way, shape, or form. Your TV deal, your conference. I don't care about any of that. Your patronization. It's just, but kudos to them. It drives me crazy. It's everything I say today is full of envy and hate, and kudos to them. Let's get that out of the way first. But man, you brought up the game, like the rivalry game, like, talk about winning the most insignificant battle before and being like nuked out of the war. My goodness. Like that was like an earthquake doesn't begin to like that's a 10.0 right there. And really, like if we're going to start talking about anybody, let's start here. F you, Oklahoma, and f you, SEC, for letting this happen. Because there is no way on God's green earth. I don't care what PR statement Joe Castiglione put out today, the Oklahoma AD talking about, oh, no, it's not true. It is absolutely the case that the only reason Lincoln Riley was looking anywhere, given the machine that he's already built in Norman, was because he saw Oklahoma going to the SEC and he's like, the playoff path is too hard. I am going to make more money but lose more games and be out of a job. Of course he's going to take the life preserver that USC is offering him. It's an easier job for more money, an easier path to the playoff, and more national recognition at a larger program than even Oklahoma is. Of course he's going to do that when you give him no choice but to do so because you felt like counting a few more dollars in your accounting department for a couple of years. F*** your move to the SEC and f*** you, Oklahoma. Let's start there.
How about the gall that Oklahoma has to say, we would have appreciated a little more notice? You think Bob Bowlesby and the rest of the Big 12 are rolling over? Like, just, how pissed would you be if you're the rest of the Big 12? Like, oh, really, Oklahoma? You would have appreciated notice and not to have a turd fall out of the sky on you without any heads up.
I would appreciate the karmic irony if it wasn't their stupidity that literally shoved this disaster scenario into my face. I would think it's hilarious if it wasn't so goddamn morbid now. Like, on a sports level. It's not real life. I get that. Trust me. But we're talking about UCLA sports. It's a podcast for UCLA sports. So we're going to do this from the UCLA sports being important kind of perspective. So,
which is a dwindling position.
I'll probably get to that soon. That'll probably come out in the stream of consciousness. But talk about a complete self-owned, f*** you, Oklahoma.
Anyway, I hope your bean counters enjoy counting a couple more $1 million while you're finishing fifth in the SEC West every year going forward, idiots. Yeah, Lincoln Riley for doing this to me, because I had no reason to hate him before. Now I hate him.
I wasn't ready to hate him. There was nothing to hate about him. Now I'm gonna have to figure out how to gin that up. I mean, it's there. I can do it, but I'm not prepared for that.
No, I hate him as a proxy for my hatred of all the crowing that USC fans are about to do and are in the process of doing. No, you, Lincoln Riley, as an avatar for all that. And the legitimate reasons I'll hate you in the future.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't interrupt your
rant. No, go. We're just talking, man. Have fun. Go for it.
This retroactively legitimates their delusions for the past 10 years or, 30 if you take out the Pete Carroll years, right? Like this makes all the things that we were saying, they're not that anymore. They're a clown. It makes it all true, damn it.
Yep. But here's the thing that we always worried about with USC is that they would finally become like self-aware and they would realize how stupid they're being, and that if they were slightly less stupid, they could actually make these kinds of things happen. And lo and behold, they hire an outsider on one level, and then that guy realizes, hey, I have this, I was going to say sword to swing. I really shouldn't say that relation to those bastards, but I have this, I don't know, this 2-ton back to swing. Like, let me fucking swing it finally. And they went at Oklahoma, gave them the door to open, and USC walked right through and they knocked that thing down. Again, kudos to Mike Bone. But seriously, like, remember when we were talking about Urban Meyer and how that was an extinction level event for UCLA if USC hired Urban Meyer?
Yep.
Hey, give me Urban Meyer 15 times over right now. Seriously.
When I think extinction level event, I think the meteor hitting the asteroid hitting the Earth with the dinosaurs. This asteroid, like that, if Urban Meyer was an asteroid, this asteroid has come armed with lasers and nukes.
Like, because at least Urban Meyer, we knew a few things about him. He was going to burn himself out. There was going to be controversy at the end of it. There was going to be a bunch of people who ended up laughing stocks at the end of it. Lincoln Riley, he's like 5 years old in coaching terms. He's going to be there forever if he wants to be. And everyone's saying, oh, NFL, owner, NFL. The Cleveland Browns have offered him their job twice. If he wanted to go to the NFL to coach his own Heisman-winning quarterback, he's had the opportunity to do so multiple times. I don't think he's particularly like pining for the NFL yet. If it does happen, that's great. But if he does make that leap, then you would have to imagine that if the NFL stays interested in him, because it means that he stayed f-ing good at coaching. And so, like, he can be there forever. He could be there for 30 years if he wanted to be, given his age. And he hasn't shown yet the propensity to burn out and cause just massive humiliation in a way that Urban Meyer has. Not yet. Urban Meyer's won national championships, fine. But here's the thing about USC. USC doesn't need to win national championships to make UCLA football extinct. They really don't. They did that more than enough with winning one disputed title that was taken away from them, two fake titles, and a bunch of Rose Bowl appearances under Pete Carroll. You think that if they make the semifinals the next 5 years, but they don't win the damn thing, that it's going to be any less threatening to UCLA? Absolutely not. No, USC is going to collect recruits by the boatload. And the funny thing is, they've hired a coach who is a willing and active recruiter who brings in 5 stars to Norman, Oklahoma right now. He is active and willing. He doesn't need to be active and willing to do what he's about to do at USC in recruiting. He is literally going to go around the Southland and Northern California, for that matter, given Cal and Stanford. And he's just going to literally be like, I want that one. Give me that one. And it's going to be like Mack Brown recruiting Texas's entire recruiting class at like the spring game, basically. And so the recruiting of USC is going to go back to the Pete Carroll level with competent coaching. Top tier recruiting with top tier coaching. This is the thing we've always been afraid of at USC, and it has come to fruition. And there are people saying that it's no guarantee. He's never built a program, so on and so forth. Like, this isn't some sort of reclamation project at USC. They their recruiting fell off a little bit because they had a joke of a head coach and people saw right through it. But this is still the same program that Corey Foreman, the number one recruit in the country last year and the best pass rushing recruit in the country last year, literally decommitted from Clemson coming off of a national championship to be like, yeah, I want to join Clay Helton. That's the pull that USC has always had. With a competent head coach and any semblance of success, it's over as far as recruiting anyone worth a damn in Southern California. So not worth a damn. I mean, you can fill up a roster at UCLA full of four-star prospects, three-star prospects, but this stuff has a cascading effect. It has a domino effect. If USC is able to pull the five-star kids and the high four-star kids that it wants with minimal effort whatsoever, at that point, the real competition in the area goes to the tier two kids. And that's where you start slugging it out with Oregon, with Washington and ASU and all this kind of stuff. That's where the real battles are that the Chip Kelly staff right now avoids, and they go for the easier, lower hanging fruit. Well, the lower hanging fruit now is about to be much higher hanging. And at that point, what is left for UCLA if they're not going to actually grind it out with those kids? And they've shown no proclivity to do so besides Johnny Nansen for one offseason. So as far as recruiting is concerned, I mean, it's going to be back on the Pete Carroll level. And David Woods made a very good point about there's a huge difference between USC with top 10 talent and USC with top 3 talent as far as annual recruiting classes. It is the Pete Carroll era in the making. And I've already lived this movie. I've already gone through it. It sucked beyond belief. We had one flickering, shining moment in 2006 where we pulled off an upset out of our ass against probably the worst team of that era up until those last couple of years against an incompetent quarterback in John David Booty. You have Lincoln Riley, the quarterback whisperer, who's developed two Heisman winners, three Heisman finalists, two number one picks in 5 years at Oklahoma. Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is the guy who's supposed to fall flat on his face at the school that has more hyped up quarterbacks than any school in the country. This is the one who's going to fall flat on his face? Maybe. But it's like a 1% chance. Like, it's like that Dumb and Dumber gif. Like, so you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah, there's a chance. There's also a chance that Jessica Alba divorces Cash Warren and ends up at my doorstep asking me to romance her. Like, it's the same chance, basically. So, this is the part where it's going to be probably too dramatic, because everything I've said, I think that I'm saying it more emphatically than it can be said otherwise. But at the very least, it's based in fact. This is where I'm going to kind of indulge my own feels for a second. Like, honestly, the question has crossed my mind at multiple points in the last 24 hours, 32 hours. I've had 34 years of this, and I've held on to the idea that there are better days to come at some point, or there's going to be a window and we're going to exploit it at some point. Now, in the 90s, it wasn't that bad. I didn't have BBS at that time until 98 anyway. But since 98, really, okay, so 98, so let's say 24 years. Let's slice 10 years off of that. For 24 years, I've had the thought that there's going to be a window that opens, and they're going to walk through it, they're going to take advantage of it, and I'm not going to say they're going to tilt the balance of power in the city, but at the very least, they're going to be competent, and they're going to be a consistent 8-9 game, 10 game, potentially, winner, and they have the ability to do so. I'm the one on this program who's talked repeatedly about the fact that this is a high ceiling job, there's so much potential, there are natural advantages, so on and so forth. But I also lived through the Pete Carroll era. And if that's what is on the doorstep again, what was the point of me going through all this? Because if Lincoln Riley is truly there, like his age will allow him to be, and if he has the success that he's capable of having, because we've seen it at Oklahoma, and people, and by the way, I'm going to get to this in a second. There are people comparing him to Chip Kelly, and it just drives me out of my mind. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But if he's there for another, 20 years, I'm going to be in my mid-50s before UCLA football has another real window. And really, like, what's the f***ing point? what am I doing this for then? It's not to see UCLA win national championships, because I gave up on that fantasy a long time ago. But Rose Bowls, go to a damn Rose Bowl, win a division title. It's just not on the table right now. And so it's just, there are people who are poo-pooing this, saying that, everyone thought Chip Kelly was a slam dunk hire. Yeah, they thought Chip Kelly was a slam dunk hire because they thought they were getting a certain Chip Kelly based on the past. I don't need to project what Lincoln Riley is going to be in college, because I know what he is right now. There is no 4 years and two failed coaching jobs NFL stint in between Oklahoma and USC for Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley is contemporarily, right now, the it offensive mind in college football. Lincoln Riley recruits. Lincoln Riley also recruits. And finally, Lincoln Riley recruits.
Imagine.
Yeah, it's this amazing idea.
Innovative.
It's this amazing idea that in order to win in a sport where there is no salary cap, and supposedly not getting paid, whatever, fine, forget that for a second. in order to have, because there is no financial limitation on the talent you can acquire, talent acquisition is your edge in this sport. It's almost like that's the case, and you probably want as much of it as possible to maximize your chances of winning. It's almost like that's the idea. And then, I mean, this is a guy who has credibility any door he walks into, and he's going to for as long, unless he fails, I just don't see it, but unless he fails, he's going to have that credibility for as long as he wants to. There are people who are, I mean, the whole thing about like every coach is a crapshoot. The guy who, I'm just going to repeat it. Like, he's produced the most innovative offense in college football at the moment, the most consistently successful offense in college football at this moment. Two Heisman winners and three finalists among the five quarterbacks that he's had, or four quarterbacks. So Rattler was for 2 year and a half. Caleb Williams, five quarterbacks. At four college football playoff teams, or three or four, I forget, but out of 5 years, over 50% making the college football playoff, recruits skill position talent with ease to an absolute truck stop outpost in Norman, Oklahoma. You think that's the guy who's going to have a problem winning in Los Angeles against a worse conference with worse coaches and easier schedules? Are you joking me? I mean, God damn it.
What do you say? I mean, it does require like a reevaluation of what the expectation is here. And the idea is that, like, how can we engage with this team and not have, you know, conference success or, success in this rivalry be amongst the priorities? Like, we're just going to go for a good time out, you know? Just, yeah, me and 25,000 of my closest friends are going to fill a quarter of the most beautiful stadium in the country and watch our team underwhelm. And hopefully we can beat SDSU every once in a while.
I mean, the best hope is the one that you brought up, which is the one where Lincoln Riley tries to prove his genius and like win every game by like 70 with weird formations or something like that. But he's never shown any need to.
Yeah, I was joking when I said that because that's not a real thing.
No, it's not. It's not a real thing. What is a real thing is that UCLA football, unless it gets its together, is under very serious threat. Very serious. Like the actual like relevance to the extent that the actual like basically the dividing line between being a semi-reasonable football program and 99% of Indiana's existence is very much on the table. Like, I mean, we can be the public school that's the little brother in perpetuity to the private school where there's no fight whatsoever. We give up on the sport completely and we focus on basketball exclusively. Or there are decisive calls made that put us in a position to, if not challenge USC at the very top, at the very least be respectable in our own right, hold our own in our own right, and do the best we can with it from there, because it's very clear that USC is going to be the top dog in the city and in the division and in the conference for a while, as long as Lincoln Riley wants to be at USC. But at the very least, they can't be, I mean, they're not going to win the next 100 straight games or anything like that. If UCLA has a team that's winning eight to nine games consistently and they're losing to USC probably, 60, 70% of the time during this era, I could live with that. You're challenging for the division at that point. USC slips up in their division games. You're going to the division to the conference title game instead of them. You're challenging for the Rose Bowl at that point. It's not completely off the table. You just have to take steps that nobody at UCLA seems to be in any mood to take right now, given what we're seeing with movement or lack thereof on the coaching sideline.
Well, so that actually brings up the next thing I want to talk about, because we could wallow forever. And
have we lost every listener we have already? No,
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, unless it's to, you know, and I don't like to joke about this, but unless it's to like, you know, a noose or a, you know, car with a hose in the tailpipe, then no, I think we've still got listeners because I think people still feel the same thing. I'm going to throw this out here. I actually think that all other considerations aside, Chip's, you know, what's going on next year, recruiting, you know, who's available, you know, the record, the improvement, the program, whatever, right? All of that aside, solely based on what the impact of USC's move is, I may think it makes it less of a good idea to fire Chip now. because not because Chip's going to do anything goodness for, you know, for goodness sake, no, but I don't care what how good of a coach we can get within the realm of reality. We're not going to win the press conference, but that's not even that important. But whoever we hire now is going to have to start their tenure in an unfair cloud. You know, just wait out one more awful year and do it next year to at least, you know, these programs have never hired on the same cycle before. Don't do it this way, right? Don't try and follow up, you know, nothing we do to follow that up will seem like anything but just, you know, kind of a damp fart.
But if it's the right damn fart, you know. But here's the thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not even talking about just media impact. Like, I'm talking about, I think that if we got the right guy right now, he would have a harder job because he'd been hired, you know, within weeks after what USC did.
I
think that the expectation and the first steps, the building, the getting off the ground would be so much harder than if we got him next year.
I think the recruiting is easier because if this USC defense is as deficient this year as it was this upcoming year as it was this year, at the very least, you could foresee a scenario where USC goes 8-4, 9-3, something like that. If UCLA matches them in record, at the very least, you can recruit not on an even plane because you're still going to have the hype behind Lincoln Riley and all the QBs and wide receivers and offensive linemen, even because he's put offensive linemen in the NFL. God damn it, he's put offensive linemen in the NFL, for goodness sakes. Like, I mean, any shot you want to take at him as far as the offensive side of the ball, it's just it will not stick. And then the defensive side of the ball, like, fine, there are criticisms to be made of the fact that Oklahoma gives up a few points. But I'm my snarky retort is going to be, yeah, that's really freaking held them back, hasn't it? Yeah, that's the thing that stopped them from getting to the playoff was the fact that they gave up 35 points a game when they're scoring 63 or whatever the hell they did. So, but it, regardless of that, if you have given UCLA's schedule next year, starting out with three non-conference opponents who are the toughest one of whom is Bowling Green. We have Bowling Green, South Alabama, and Alabama State. That's our non-conference next year. You either give Chip Kelly the chance to build a three-win cushion into his season and go 5-4 and keep his job again, or it was never supposed to be this way. I'll take my shots at Martin Jarman in a second. I'll take those shots in a second. Or you give a brand new coach that cushion to build off of to inflate their record. They go 4-5 in the conference, or 5-4 in the conference, let's say. I'm a brand new coach who just went 8-4. In a quote unquote rebuilding year, I went 8-4. Washington is coming to the Rose Bowl next year. We should win that game, even with Kalen DeBoer being their coach. USC is coming to the Rose Bowl next year. We should win that game, even with Lincoln Riley, because at the end of the day, you can't rebuild that defense in one day. 2 days, sure, but one day, no. And it's going to make people's heads explode that I think that there's a chance that we win next year. But regardless, and especially after I joked on Twitter that I missed the final game that UCLA is going to ever win over USC in my lifetime. Regardless, that was me kind of being over the top. I get that. But being real. Being real for a second, the one tough game we get Utah at home. That's never an easy game, and they're going to be a year more mature. They probably win that game. We have Oregon on the road. We have ASU at home, or ASU on the road. But for some reason, we play them better on the road than we do at home. It's the weirdest goddamn thing. And they have half their roster apparently about to transfer out. Chip Trainum, their star running back, actually put himself in the transfer portal today, and that's not the end of it as far as what I've read for ASU. So. The schedule lines up very nicely next year for UCLA to actually go around 9-3. You give a new coach that kind of a ledge to stand on to start. They can recruit with a very decent degree of authority and with proof of concept. And if you hire somebody who's a dogged recruiter, you can sell some kids on that. You can go more toe to toe with Lincoln Riley in the next recruiting cycle than you can in the ones after. But it's not going to happen. So it's a pipe dream at this point. They've made their decision.
That's a fair point.
They've made their decision. They saw the coaching market and they got spooked. And they did their back channels and they weren't going to be in a position to make the vanity hire that they were seemingly planning to make. And so they took their, they holstered it. And
do you know who, like, this was there a specific vanity hire?
Yes.
Do you care to share what that was?
it's a guy who got a lot of national attention and has ties to the area.
Someone who was rumored like publicly for the SC
job? That would be the one.
Okay.
Somebody who turned down the USC job, actually. But they hired f***ing Lincoln Riley instead.
Brian Kelly?
But they hired Lincoln f***ing Riley instead of this guy. I mean, but, and here's the thing that it was just something where they couldn't compete financially with the school that he's at right now, because just the amount of money they have from Wildcatters is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You don't think of them as a rich program, but every program in the state is rich. So.
Yeah, I would imagine. No, I think of them as, you know, they've got private school money.
Anywho.
Private school of Texas.
We're going to go that specific. Okay. Yes. It's not a real secret.
You say Wildcatters.
It's not a real secret at this point. Yeah. But anyway, it didn't get to the point of making like an offer or anything like that. It was pure back channel. Like they floated like one or two numbers. They didn't like the feedback they got. So anyway, it is what it is. But just in general, they holstered it, and they got spooked by what they saw in the market. I do think that they still would have proceeded with Canning Chip the way that they had planned to, with it was 9 wins or bust, until they saw multiple blue blood jobs come open. LSU, USC, Florida, multiple tier 2 jobs come open. Washington State, not AS. What was I going to say? And they were afraid, by the way. There was this very serious fear that Texas was going to make a hire right now as well. Texas will not make a hire anymore, especially since they think Oklahoma is languishing. But regardless, Washington, TCU, those kinds of jobs came open. They got spooked. They definitely got spooked, and I'm not thrilled with that being the reason to let your program linger for another year under a coach who is the best you can call him at UCLA is a flat track bully who has run the fans off and abused their trust every chance that he's gotten. Not trust, but their faith every chance he's gotten. The 3 games that they turned out for, three of the 4 games they turned out for, they lost in dramatic fashion, or not dramatic, embarrassing fashion. One especially more embarrassing than the others, given the fact that he might be the most laughable clown of a coach in college football, Herm Edwards. But regardless of that,
I'm actually surprised. I thought you were going to say Mario Cristobal. So I'm just glad that you recognize that
he's not. You can't be that in a world where Herm Edwards exists. But Herm Edwards put a bigger beatdown on us than Mario Cristobal even did. So
I said that was the game that I defended, or not defended, but that is the game that I argued against firing Chip Kelly. And yet even then I said that getting out coached by Herm Edwards was in itself a fireable offense.
Yep. And so let's pivot though. If we're going to live in this world, if we have to, unfortunately, this world where USC's, the world that exists.
Whether we choose to live in.
Living is, is a subjective thing, whether it's a biological existence or a maximization of life. It's a very philosophical debate. But regardless, if we are going to exist in this world where USC has hired Lincoln Riley as their head coach and UCLA has retained Chip Kelly as their coach, once I get the vomiting out of the way in my mind and perhaps even physically in a few moments, acknowledging that reality, there's a couple of things that we kind of have to bake into the cake. The first is that there's going to be no more high school recruiting done for this class because Chip wants to fill it up with grad transfers, because Charlie Weiss proved how sustainable that was at Kansas. Realistically speaking, is there any truly successful program in college football where the majority of their high-end talent has come in by grad transfer? Or are they all... No. Programs that recruit high school players, develop them, and sprinkle in grad transfers where necessary for Band-Aids before they can replace them with more permanent solutions.
And I've been saying this for the entire time that we've been talking about Chip Kelly using the transfer portal as like a special weapon for him because of the type of player he wants to go. It's like that's we know from experience that is how programs like destroy themselves.
It's meant to be a tool. He's using it as a crutch. But regardless. They're going to load up on grad transfers from mid-major programs. They're already talking to one from Weber State, a defensive end right now. We've got 5 sacks this season at Weber State. Woohoo. It sounds like it's harsher to the kid than it needs to be. The guy, he tried his ass off at
Weber State, and he developed himself, and hopefully he's a good player for UCLA if he comes here. But regardless of that,
yeah, but it's remarkably uninspiring as a response to
exactly what happened across town. Exactly. So we're going to have to be prepared for a recruiting class that's going to have like 12 high school kids, seven or eight grad transfers, or even conventional transfers, quite frankly, but you know, transfers at the very least. And then from there, you have to hope that there is progress made on hiring a defensive coordinator who can take an undermanned defense, because make no mistake about it, as much, if not more, of the blame for UCLA's defensive struggles. Now, we've talked about Jerry Azzanero and even Brian Norwood, like, till we're blue in the face. We've done it the entire season. But you can have the greatest X's and O's in the world. If you don't have the Jimmys and Joes, you're not going to pull them off at that point. And a huge portion of UCLA struggles on defense, I would say 45 to 50%, maybe even pushing into the 55% range, or that number, that ratio of blame for UCLA struggles can be assigned to the fact that UCLA's defense has no elite talent at all. Mm-hmm. You have one potential blue chip guy at corner in Devin Kirkwood. We hope John Humphrey, the other 4-star at corner that we brought in, can start to come good. He had a very nice pass breakup against Cal. Oh, by the way, we beat Cal this weekend. We beat them 42-14. Yay. Did we mention that? No. Anyway,
no,
we beat Cal.
No, we didn't.
Cool.
But, I mean, that's a game. The post-USC game is a game I struggle to care about in normal years.
Could it be less relevant right now? It's actually impossible to be less relevant right now. But
it could have taken place solely on Portuguese TV in, you know, another dimension, and it would be not any less relevant than it is.
That's I can't top you on that one, so I'm going to roll with that. So, yeah. John Humphrey had a nice pass breakup in the end zone to stop Cal from closing within 21 points or whatever it was. Cool. Safety talent after Quentin Lake leaves is barren. And we know it's barren because when we had safety injury issues in the ASU game, our third string safeties, who we counted on to rescue us from the all-out like aerial assault that ASU was pulling off against us, were both walk-ons. At linebacker, there is no superlative talent. You have a bunch of fungible replacement-level players, with the exception possibly of Carl Jones, who this staff doesn't seem to deem fit to, I don't know, put on the field for more than 40% of the snaps each game. So you have middle linebackers who are they're maybe even less than 5. They're below average, but I don't know. They're replacement level at best. And Caleb Johnson, Jordan Jenmark Heath, who's going to be graduating anyway, Kane Medrano, John Bonds. There are no stars there. There's no Eric Kendricks in there. There's no Jordan Zumwalt. There's no Brandon Chiller. There's no Christian Taylor in there. Much less Eric Kendricks, the best middle linebacker in UCLA history. There are no blue chips at linebacker right now. There is no one-man pass rush on this team. Even USC, with as talent-deprived as they are relative to their normal level, they still have Drake Jackson and Corey Foreman, who can get to the quarterback when they need to. Drake Jackson was hurt against us, and Corey Foreman is the most enigmatic personality you could ever possibly come across this side of Jalen Phillips. But at the very least, that freakish talent is there to get to the quarterback when the brains are turned on and the bodies are healthy.
So I disagree with none of this, but my question right now is less, you know, what can we do with Chip or why is this bad? But like, let's just say if we were to make a hire next year, right? Like
Jimmy Lake. Let's say Jimmy Lake. Are you talking about for a head coach next year?
I'm talking about head coach.
Oh, okay. Oh, then not Jimmy Lake.
Yeah. I was like, really?
Defense coordinator.
Yeah. No, if we were to make a hire next year, you know, after next season, if we were going to change with Chip, what options would there be to counter what's going on at SC?
As far as head coach?
Yeah.
You need somebody who is a proven talent evaluator at the mid 4-star, high 3-star level. You need somebody who knows that what's going on across town needs a direct counter. So I feel like you are almost obliged to go defense, especially since the offensive talent is going to be drawn exclusively to SC. There's going to be more defensive talent to pick that it's going to be more convincible. If you think about it from a recruiting perspective, you can build you almost are obliged to build a counter identity because trying to do what USC does, but like 5 steps worse, is how we got to Pete Carroll versus Rick Neuheisel. So I've seen that movie. Again, I've seen that movie. I don't need to see it again.
Yeah.
So at that point, you're looking at the Dave Aranda, ideally, Kalani Sitake, that kind of a guy, if you can put up the money for them. Otherwise, you're looking at the Marcus Freeman kind of tier, essentially.
What if we take away their defensive coordinator and hire him as a head coach?
Alex Grinch?
Yeah.
I don't believe he's that great of a recruiter. I don't know about his recruiting chops. And yeah, he's coordinating a defense for an offense that's quick score, high tempo, all flash. But he could still be a little bit better at Oklahoma than he has been. Yeah. Like he seems very Wilcox-ish to me right now.
Okay. All right. So look, we can do this forever. I don't want to. I'm done. I don't really. I'm not in the mood to talk about UCLA football anymore.
Yeah.
And frankly, UCLA basketball feels like, I don't know. I mean, as excited as I am about this team and about Mick Cronin, I don't even know. It feels almost patronizing to be like, oh, but I know everything sucks, but you know, you still have basketball. Like, that's just going to infuriate me. So, yeah. I don't know. What should UCLA fans do to retain their sanity in the rest of this offseason coaching carousel? You know, just the press and the announcements of when he finally starts and all this.
I unfollowed all the college football writers I follow. I unsubscribe from all the podcasts, not because I'm not trying to be some sort of Shrinking Violet or something like that. It's just the fact that I know what's coming, the propaganda onslaught, and deserved, in all honesty. Yeah. But I don't need to be there for it. So I detached from it.
That's the thing that makes this super difficult to take, is that all of the SC's glee, all of the praise they're going to get, it's going to be earned. It's going to be real. And that's not the
Lane Kiffin Sarkisian return to Camelot bull. This is real. There's proof in the pudding for why it's coming.
It's not the inertia-driven John David Booty atop the preseason Heisen rankings because it's USC. It's going to be because they legitimately are doing the most dynamic, positive thing in college football, and I cannot take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cosine. Cosine.
All right. Well, we're going to put up we have the episode. We finally got the episode from Twitter that you folks did in the Twitter spaces after the Gonzaga game. So we're going to put that up. If anyone is interested, we hope you are still. Remember,
it was great.
The days.
It was a great chat. It was a great chat. Like, I highly recommend listening to it. But
I mean, in this current environment, I'm sure it will serve some emotional need for you. So you should definitely listen to it. We'll put it up as a bonus episode. And we'll be back. We'll touch base next week, you know, talk about, I don't know, some more grounded things, some more actual things going on. Tonight was really event session. Hopefully it is helpful to you to hear people put into words the frustration and disgust and just
helplessness,
deflation. Yeah. That you feel. And if not, if we've made it worse for you, apologies. And here's the most duty driven, but least inspired and enthusiastic Go Bruins ever, but Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Sunshine will understand. has come and taken our loved ones. It leaves our home so lonely and drear. And then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Farther stay.